Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Cobb, was it the past Super Bowl or the Super Bowl before that where we had the Paramount Plus ad with Creed?
Oh, I think it was 2 years ago, yeah.
I still think that might have been the best ad of the Super Bowl.
If it's got Creed in it, you know.
Well, it had been Creed.
It's for Paramount Plus.
But remember, it was like the Hey Arnold. It was like Tua. It was the
Was this the one where they were like trying to throw him over the mountain or whatever?
Yeah, with Patrick Stewart. Yeah, it was actually like a very good ad.
I looked it up. It was 24. So.
Okay, so that was two. God.
This is my intro music with Gabe.
I mean, listen. Yeah, that's why. They bring the noise.
It's so good. I actually need to change it up. I've had the same intro song for so long.
No. Cobb, you know good and well. There was another one mixed in there for a little bit. I pulled it up.
I tried to get Connor to do OxyContin, the intro. You know, it's sort of like instrumental.
I don't know if you've, I mean, no big deal, but was it Homecoming? Senior year Homecoming, Lil White played the MUS Homecoming.
No way.
He used our senior lounge as like his green room, and we're like, that place is disgusting. We're like, that is, like, have at it, buddy.
I wonder what it smelled like when he got done.
Yeah, no, I mean, the thing is, like, I'm not even sure, like, it would have, it smelled so bad, it was probably the perfect place.
It needed to be fumigated.
Yeah, it's, man, that was, what a time to be alive. All right, let's get in the list. Tasting menu. All right, Cobb, I think here's how we're going to set it up. All right, let's go through every window. Now that your blessed YouTube TV is back with ESPN, how are you quad boxing the early window? I think the early window is fairly easy, right? So we're going to have Mizzou.
Well, Oklahoma, Missouri has probably got to be TV one, I would say.
That's the one that's with sound. Miami, Virginia Tech.
Yeah, because Miami's really back in this thing. Like, I felt like they were left for dead after the first rankings, but now it's like they're creeping up towards Notre Dame territory, and the closer they get to Notre Dame, the better shot they're going to have of being evaluated head-to-head against Notre Dame, in which case they're going to get in the playoffs. So, yeah, I actually feel like that's a really important game.
That was the reason why I put it on there. Louisville and SMU, because I believe, right, if Louisville can beat SMU, doesn't that bring Miami back into the picture?
Well, yeah, because it makes their loss look less. Well, actually,
I don't know if like Miami matters because they lost to both of them, but I think. Yeah, no, it brings them back in.
You're talking about the league title. Picture.
Right. Because that's the other thing that's banana land to me is like the highest ranked ACC team is mathematically unlikely to even be in the playoff.
Like in the rankings, you mean?
Well, because, I mean, I don't think the other. I mean, I guess you can make the argument if Georgia Tech were to win out, because that include a win over Georgia, that Georgia Tech could pass them. But it almost feels like if chalk holds, whoever ends up winning the ACC is not going to pass Miami in the rankings, and they're going to get in while Miami won't.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, absolutely. That's definitely on the table. But, I mean, sorry, Miami. Like,
No. I'm not crying for Miami. I do think you're right, though. It does feel like Miami can play their way back in more so than I thought 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, because there's nothing on their schedule, yet it's like they're being rewarded for beating up on bad teams here, and I don't really understand it. Like, I don't understand how we got this narrative shift to now Miami being a sympathetic figure when they lost games they had no business losing against Louisville and SMU. And it's like, I mean, obviously the win over Notre Dame should matter. It counts, even though it was early in the season. It's not like it doesn't count. But at the same time, like, those losses are really not good losses. So I don't know what to do with Miami and Notre Dame. It's the committee's biggest problem right now. But it makes this game interesting because, you know what? Virginia Tech, they could just end it. They could just end it. I don't think they're necessarily good enough to do it. But, I mean, we've seen Miami mess around and lose games like this before under Mario Cristobal.
My gut says they go up to Pittsburgh next week and it's like 32 and slightly snowy.
Yeah.
That's where it ends. But what's it going to be in Blacksburg tomorrow? Let's see. Because Blacksburg can get sneaky cold too.
Yeah. Now, but like, what's the whole like coaching hire do for them? Like,
yeah, I don't know. Do they get a James Franklin bump?
Or do they get a James Franklin like, oh, now we know who our next coach is. We're thinking about transferring now, because you can transfer once the new coach is hired. You can get in the portal. So, like, the portal is now looming over that entire roster, like, more imminently than it was before.
64 cloudy with some showers. That doesn't feel like cold enough. I think Miami might show up tomorrow or Saturday.
Oh, okay. I'll give you actually, I think what's going to be my fourth.
Well,
TV?
I was thinking, is TV 4 the RSM?
Oh, well, yeah, honestly.
I mean, it
should be.
It's weirdly, I don't know, I can't explain it. I think it's my favorite fall PGA Tour event.
I've actually been kind of thirsty for some decent golf. So, yeah, I will be watching that over the weekend, at least in some capacity.
There is not much for TV4.
Well, I know, but okay, if you're able to do ESPN Plus on one of your monitors.
Oh, so I meant to tell you this. You should get back to my DirecTV plan, because guess what DirecTV has started doing?
Oh, they got a little quad box or?
No. They're putting ESPN Plus games on the regular lineup.
Ooh, that's a game changer.
So I've got like 10 channels of ESPN Plus.
Oh.
I don't have to go. I don't have to log in and out of the app.
See, that is what we've.
I know. This is what we needed.
Our industry needs.
Correct.
That like,
it's a game changer. I saw it last week. I was like, what?
Because that's great. Because there's so many times, especially with Memphis, they always end up on Plus in both sports. And I'm like, I want them to be a part of this. But like, I got to put them on this other screen over here. And that's too much work. And, you know, and then I end up just having to go back and rewatch or whatever.
Well, you know what it was perfect for? The Vols not covering last week. But instead of having to watch every snap, I was able to just flick over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
didn't have to get in and out of the app. Like, I was able to just scroll right over. Bam, there it was.
That's the innovation we need. We need something that can connect all of your streamers and put them on one platform. It used to be called cable. That doesn't exist anymore. But I'll say this one more. Washington State, James Madison could be really interesting, because James Madison, if they keep winning, they're going to get in the mix to be the G5 rep. I mean, let's be real.
I keep wondering, though, if it's just going to keep trading off to whoever the American team is. Because it's
I mean, so long as the American champion doesn't have three losses, I think it's going to be whoever that team is. But there is a chance the American champion could have three losses. I mean, that's on the table. So
I was telling George this. I've read through the bylaws twice. I think, and you could even talk me into, might have been requested, I think the committee did the American a solid by ranking Tulane, because, you know, there is a path to where...
Isn't there a tiebreaker where the highest ranked...
Correct.
CFP team?
Correct.
Okay, that's smart. Yeah.
Because if it didn't get to that, there was a scenario where Navy would have gotten in ahead of Tulane, making the assumption that you wind up with North Texas, Tulane, Navy, all with one loss, which, listen, I think Memphis is going to make it. I think they're going to beat Navy next week, and so it's going to be a non-issue. But I think by ranking Tulane, they kept that out of there, because I do think if Navy wound up winning the league, I do think JMU would have a case.
I think every league should go to a format where it's their two highest-ranked teams in the CFP that play each other for the conference championship. Because with all the unbalanced league schedules, it's absurd that Indiana and Wisconsin are measured by the same metrics in terms of, are they going to make the league championship game? It's their win-loss record, which historically made sense because you played the same teams when you were in the same conference. But now you don't. You play radically different schedules. The schedule that Indiana plays is so different than the schedule that Wisconsin plays, yet it's going to be conference winning percentage that decides who makes the championship game. You know, and so I think every league should go to whoever's highest ranked in the CFP. Now, that would require the CFP to rank more than 25 teams,
yeah.
Ultimately, which is...
I think I could get on board with that. I mean, I stand by this. I miss divisions.
Oh, I do too. I miss conferences making sense. I miss everything about the way things used to be.
I miss the rhythm of the schedules.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, for instance, coming up on the evening quad box, the fact that we're playing Florida and Tennessee in November still is weird.
And then Tennessee doesn't go back to the swamp again until 2029. After tomorrow or after Saturday night,
this game should be on CBS the first Saturday after the U.S. Open ends. This was the kickoff of the SEC on CBS.
I agree.
Oh God!
And it used to be opposite the Miss America pageant, and it always drove me crazy, Jeffrey, because I didn't grow up in a household of abundance, right? We had one little bunny ear TV, and then we had some other little portable TV, and they had to bust out the portable TV. Because my mom and my sister wanted to watch the Miss America pageant.
Yeah, it's tough.
And I had to go watch this little, 12-inch thing on the to see the Tennessee-Florida game. I don't miss those days, but I do miss them playing when they were supposed to play.
I guess I should have known that. They're not going to be one of the, whatever, the perm. What are we? We don't call it permanent opponents. What are we calling it? Like, annual opponents for 4 years?
Yeah, I guess they'll change it again after four, right?
All right, if we had to put a fourth game in there, man, this is gross. I don't hate your Wazoo JMU, but that didn't kick off till noon, and that's plus. I mean, maybe just see how many points Ohio, like what Ohio State could do to Rutgers defense. That could be entertaining if they care. All right, let's get to the afternoon window. All right, so we know TV1's going to be USC at Oregon.
CBS, thank goodness, finally got a good game.
They're finally going to post a number.
Because they want us to write about the game that's going to be on CBS. Like, we write about all the games, whatever. But, like, they're always trying to, like, hey, y'all should find an angle to do something on this CBS game. And I'm like, what do you want us to say about Penn State, Michigan State? You know, and now finally we have a good game.
So, I don't know. I trusted my boy Jonathan Smith to stay inside the number there. And I turned it on, and it's like, man, Gary Danielson and Brad Nessler, it's like, this is like a big-time voice crew, and it's like they were calling Penn State Michigan State.
That's rough.
Like, neither team is probably a bowl team. Like, it, ugh. All right, also in this window, because I got a couple of questions for you. Kentucky at Vandy, Arkansas at Texas, Duke at North Carolina, more on that in a minute. Let's see. Kansas State at Utah, that's a 3 o'clock kick. Do we care about TCU in Houston?
I think TCU is on quit watch. I was up late last Saturday night.
That's a fair point. The last Saturday,
Josh Hoover was getting into it with Eric McAllister, who's like their best receiver. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, I don't know that this team anymore.
I don't know if they got BYU'd in Provo, but I don't hate that take at all. All right, here's the question that I was going to ask you. Are we 100% sure Vandy just handles Kentucky?
No, Kentucky has kind of found something here with Cutter Bowley at quarterback.
He is not afraid to sling it.
And they're actually calling stuff that makes sense instead of waiting for these long developing pass patterns to
get it out of his hands, boys.
Get it out of his hands. I mean, and it's working. And they've actually like gotten a little momentum here, and their defense is looking better because their offense is moving the ball. And this is like Vandy. I mean, their season, they thought was going to come down to winning in Knoxville, but and it's still May, but they got to get past this Kentucky team first.
Well, Kentucky, so we were talking about this. I know bowl games maybe don't matter to the general masses. Like, you and I don't really care other than we have to write and talk about it. I do think Kentucky making a bowl is something of significance to them.
Especially with the way their season started.
Right.
I mean, they looked left for dead. It was like, Mark Stoops is done. This team is cooked.
Well, remember we were talking about, can they do the lump sum payment? Remember all that?
All that. Now, that has quieted down quite a bit. It feels like there's a path forward here for Kentucky, because are you going to fire at Kentucky? Are you really going to fire a coach who goes to a bowl game, right? Like, not with what you're putting into basketball.
Not for $38 million or whatever it was going to be, right?
Yeah, it's a lump sum, which they might be able to negotiate that or whatever, 28 mil, I don't know, get it down by 10. But still, that's an absurd amount of money for a coach who's having as much success that as you could realistically hope for. And it's changed in the last 3 weeks, because I think the other thing that helps Mark Stoops right now is all this consternation around the basketball team starting, because now that's all people in Kentucky care about right now. It's like, well, have you seen what Mark Pope said the other day? And like, they don't even like, oh, the football team won again. Cool. All right. Like, well, you know, I don't think they're in love with Mark Stoops. I think they've kind of given up on the idea that he's ever going to get them back to 10 wins, but the basketball team's thinking has provided a perfect distraction from a lukewarm football season. And honestly, they get Vandy and then they get Louisville.
Well,
I mean,
and I was
going to
say,
those
I actually think Vandy's probably winning, but the vibes in Louisville are going the other direction.
Well, Louisville's not actually good. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's like they have a nice record. They beat Miami, but not because
Miami beat themselves and Louisville's on the field.
Exactly.
And
I've watched.
They do have a good running back.
Yeah, I mean, there is talent. Like,
but no, I'm with you.
Louisville is a team with talent, but not a good team. I think Kentucky either wins either one of those games. You either beat a top 15 opponent and end their playoff hopes if you win this week, or you beat your in-state rival to close the season. Either winning either game gets you to a bowl. So what once seemed like a foregone conclusion that this would be it for Mark Stoops, I don't think it is that anymore. I think there's a real chance here they're 6-6, maybe even 7-5, and this thing keeps moving. Because here's the thing, they have hope now because they found their quarterback. Like, they're not going to have to go out and try to, you know, do the Calzada thing again.
Yeah.
Like, they actually have a guy who can play quarterback for them next season.
Yeah, and they'll just, whatever they spend on Calzada, just hand it to him. All right, this was the other thing I was thinking about. I went into the week thinking, man, USC catching 10.5. Does it not feel like every person on the planet is saying, 10.5, too many points?
That's how I feel.
I'm telling you, I think everyone on the planet, I've talked myself into, I'm just going to lay the number with Oregon, because I feel like everyone on the planet is saying too many points.
I mean, it feels like too many points.
I looked it up. Lincoln Riley, we keep doing Lincoln Riley on the road. It's Lincoln Riley as a road favorite. He's actually as a road dog. I looked it up. He was like 6-1-1. As a road dog against the number with like 3 or 4 outright wins. He's not as bad as a road dog. Terrible as a road favorite.
Well, this is an interesting matchup because like when these two hires were made, I don't think you would have said that at this point, Dan Lanning and Oregon are going to be the program that's two steps ahead of where USC and Lincoln
and
Riley are.
But especially in this era where we thought like USC finally is like, okay, now with it being above board, USC will spend all that money. Whereas Nike's always, excuse me, they just wanted cool jerseys. That's the only reason why Oregon wound up getting players.
Well, I don't think any of us 4 or 5 years ago totally understood the ramifications of what player payment would mean. I mean, you remember there was a point in time when Penny Hardaway was out here saying, we got to do something. Penny Hardaway and Mick Cronin were two of the coaches who were banging the drum and saying, hey, if we want to stop losing top college basketball players to G League Ignite and Overtime Elite and Australia, then we have to come up with ways to be able to pay them legally. And that has actually hurt those two men quite a bit. And like none of us understood it. Like we should have been able to see the writing on the wall that like the programs with the deepest pocketed, Fortune 500 boosters would be the ones who would have the most success. And like, it just has made Oregon such a better job. And I look at this spread and it kind of blows your mind. Like, really? Like, Oregon's a 10-point favorite over USC. But it's, yeah, I actually picked Oregon minus the 9.5 for the site. Kind of, I think, for the reasons you're saying, it's like, it feels like a big number, but then at the end of the day, do we really trust USC to go on the road against a team with this much talent and keep it close?
Now, I think this is also true. The only, like, when you talk about the other ridiculous things about the schedule, I think right now the only common opponent we have between these two teams is Iowa. And they all played pretty similar games, weirdly. Like, Oregon went to Iowa in the rain and wins on the buzzer. And do we think the Iowa kid caught it in bounds?
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look.
I couldn't tell. But, like, you know, these are one possession games in the rain won by USC and Oregon. But at the same time, like, I don't know that there's something about this line. But then I also think, like, did Oregon get a bunch of guys back from the injury report that I was missing?
Well, that's been their issue. So, like, they were playing all these Big Ten West teams, and they had their receivers all banged up. And now, I mean, last week, though, they actually started to find it again offensively, and Dante Moore was on point.
He
and it's like, okay,
was incredible last week, if you didn't watch that. I think he missed, like, two passes. On,
I mean, if he's on, then Oregon wins this game 45-17. But there have also been so many moments over the course of this season where Oregon has played to the level of their competition, played to the style of a Big Ten West opponent. But the thing, USC doesn't really want to play that way. They've shown they can play that way, but I don't think that's their desired. Unless Lincoln Riley is really going to play this conservatively. But I don't think he will, because he realizes that if they win this game, they've got a shot to make the playoffs. So I don't think he's going to go out there to try and cover and be okay with losing 17-13. Like, I don't think that's where Lincoln Riley is at right now. I think he believes he's got a team that can go to Oregon and win, and that might get him beat by 21 because...
Yeah, you have to be more aggressive.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got to play riskier. All right, anything else you want to discuss in that afternoon window before we go to the nightcap?
Nothing that pops off, not necessarily.
All right, so the most consequential game of the weekend, are we in agreement? It's Pittsburgh at Georgia Tech.
Well, yeah, for that ACC race.
Correct.
Big implications there. Yeah.
So, like, in terms of, like, I totally understand if you're someone's like, I have no intention to watch that game, but in terms of significance, because Tech clinches its spot in the title game with a win, correct?
Yeah.
And then Pitt, if they were to win this and then beat Miami, they would clinch. So, like,
which seems unlikely, but yes.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Although this, man,
I feel like Georgia Tech should be favored by more. You know,
it makes me want Pitt. And then I kind of think about it in these terms, like, how can you really trust Georgia Tech with that defense? Cobb, they should have lost last week to BC.
Oh yeah. I mean, but Haynes King keeps bailing them out time and time.
Guy's
and
a
time
stud,
again.
Man.
I mean, he is. They're 9-1 right now. They would be what, 6-4? They would be 6-4 probably with any other quarterback.
All right.
I mean, he
here's
that much.
Here's the games they definitely lose to Colorado, right?
Yeah.
I think they lose to Clemson.
Yeah.
I think they would have lost to Wake.
Probably. I mean, they might be worse than that. They might be worse than 6-4 without him.
And they lose last week. Yeah, I bet they would have beat Garner Webb. They would have beat Temple. Probably beat Vatek. I don't know. That Duke game gets weird, too.
Yeah, I mean, Darian Minsa turned it over a few times in that game. It kind of helped.
Yeah, they had Georgia the fumble. Like, that was one of those weekends where it's like I had fight four straight games that weekend where a defensive touchdown was scored against me. That's when you just know, like, this is where this is headed.
Depending on how the rest of this season plays out these last 2 weeks, because Georgia Tech and Vanderbilt both have such massive two-game stretches here to close the season, I'd like to see whichever team or whichever quarterback out of Diego Pavia or Haynes King at least get the invite to New York.
One of the ball players. Yeah.
Dude, I mean, because you talk about the most important player. Like, I know the Heisman is not called the MVP, but if that's what it was, if it was most valuable player to your team, there's no one in college football that means more to their team than Haynes King or Diego Pavia. Nah. We're talking about two teams right now that would be struggling to make a bowl game with any other quarterback, and yet here they are in the playoff hunt because of who they have at QB. And I realize, like, yeah, Diego Pavia doesn't put up the absurd statistical numbers, but Haynes King does. He's actually leading the country right now in yards per game. You're not seeing him as high up because he divides them among rushing and passing, and so he doesn't top the list on either. And he sat a game for load management earlier this season, which depresses his overall numbers. But like, if you go yards per game overall, Haynes King, touchdown scored per game, like he's better than anybody in the country.
All right. I ask you, the alum, I think the streak ends.
Oh, it's got to. Now, when? By 2029, you'll be going back.
Because here's the other thing. Everyone keeps doing the Florida was frisky against Ole Miss. Ole Miss had one bad quarter, and they were horrible in the red zone because Lane was just, like, going big brain Lane. I mean,
I think
that was – they basically outgamed them 2-1.
And Tennessee's been doing that, too. Now, the problem with Tennessee here's what this game comes down to. Who turns it over less?
Yeah.
Because both these teams, boy, they have just been cocking that pistol and shooting themselves in the foot time after time after time in winnable games this year. And even last week against New Mexico State, Joey Aguilar, 2 interceptions.
Listen, right? My favorite bet of the week last week was Tennessee minus 38.5. And it's like when you got into the third quarter and you just watched the turn, you're just like, okay, it's like if this one can't win, I'm just done.
Oh, I know. And that's the biggest thing here. Can they just stay out of their own way? Because they killed Oklahoma in terms of total yardage, lost the game, right? Because, you know, if they start doing that sort of stuff, then sure. Like, I mean, this is going to be a game. But, you know, there have been enough flashes from Tennessee offensively. And I look, where is the will of this Florida team to defend the run too at this point? Because Tennessee can run it. Like, they're not an elite running team like they were last year. But if they can sort of break Florida's will on the ground, I mean, this has got to be it. And it's funny. I think Josh Heupel acknowledged that he actually brought the streak up to his team. And because right now it's like, all right, Tennessee's not playing for a spot in the SEC championship game. They're out of the playoff hunt. So, like, you got to dig deep and actually find ways to motivate this
team. Do something of significance.
By the way, yeah, y'all haven't won in the swamp. You know, this team hadn't won in the swamp since before y'all were born. So, like, there would be significance there, you know?
So sad. All right, let's take a quick break. We got Tigers and Purdue coming up here in about an hour and a half. Let's talk about it with Jason Smith next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Jason!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is the coast of the Jason and John Show weekdays right here on 92.9 FM ESPN from 11 until 2. Follow him on the Everything app at JasonSmith929. Jason, what is best case for what we're going to see from the Tigers here in about 90 minutes?
That Penny comes away, you know, feeling pretty good about more than two guys in terms of effort. I think this is a – talked about it on my show. This is a you're expected to lose. You're expected to lose big. So if I'm Penny Hardaway – I'm seeing who's on board by sending whatever message I can, whatever, you know, and trying to motivate in whatever I can this NIL era where it's much harder to do. And I think the way you go about that is depending upon, you know, what the practices have looked like since the UNLV loss, where Penny was questioning the effort of basically everyone except for Thedford and Majoke. Maybe what you do here, if that effort has still been down, if you haven't seen them practice like you wanted to, is you take those top NIL guys that haven't been performing for you that you've talked about, whether it's the Aaron Bradshaws or more, maybe the Doug McDaniels, and you bench them to start this game. And you start Thedford and you start Majoke and you start whoever was with you in practice after that UNLV loss in a way of saying, look, it's a sunk cost. What I've given you guys in terms of NIL at this point, if I can't motivate you to give me effort, you know, in terms of just yelling at you or saying, man, come on, what are you doing? Maybe this is a way to do it, you know, against the number one team in the country. My point, no matter what happens here, Penny has to come out of this game knowing that he's, you know, who are the 5, 6, 7, 8 guys, don't know how much, how big that number goes. Maybe it doesn't go beyond that are going to be able to give him a full 40 minutes of effort, because what you saw against UNLV, obviously he said it, unacceptable in terms of that effort level. So tonight, rather than worrying about this, keeping it close, or, you know, surely you're trying to win, that's going to be tough. We don't need to go through all the reasons. You guys already have. We did it on our show. I would be more concerned with finding out who I'm going forward with in terms of who's in the foxhole with me. That's how I put it on my show. That's what I'm finding out tonight.
Yeah, because you're 100% right. I'm with you. It's like, are they going to fight?
100%. That's the question. And you know, being at a point where you got 15 new guys and you only saw that from two of them against UNLV in a game that's, you know, it wasn't just losing to a UNLV team that's, you know, lost to Montana and to UT Martin. It's who was leading that UNLV team and Josh Pastner, and the fact that they were down like two starters for sure, possibly three starters. And you get run off the floor. And so from it to be at a point where you're saying this roster that you put together, not Rick Stansberry or Nolan Smith helping you with it, like this is the one that's been on you for as far as we can tell. You haven't had that guy to sort of go out and help you structure it to come out. Pretty damning to come out of that UNLV game and say there are only two of these guys. And I think it wasn't just Penny trying to motivate. That's where our eyeballs saw. And so you're in a position here where you guys have pointed it out. These are the most important games of your season, in the sense that, hey, if you're going to do anything, and maybe we're, you know, maybe we get back to a point in this non-conference where it's not going to matter. But if you're going to affect seeding, you've got to make some hay here in the non-conference. If it's going to be anything about more than just winning the conference tournament to be the auto. So I'm trying to find out who's with me. If I'm Penny, I'm willing to pull out all the stops already for all the reasons I just laid out. And again, I'm looking to, if I didn't see it particularly in practice, I'm trying to find, you know, hopefully there was that response right after Penny says it, you know, in the post game after UNLV, you know, you saw from Doug and those guys. Zach Davis is another one of those guys that you've got to get more from. Bradshaw, we're not sure if you can, but particularly with Davis and with Doug McDaniel, there's got to be more there, and you got to try to find a way to get it out of them. If benching them to start a game against the number one team in the country is the way to go, I'm all for it. I just think that's, Penny has to look at tactics tonight as opposed to, oh yeah, we're gonna beat Purdue. Let's give them the David versus Goliath speech.
Yeah, Jason, I don't feel like starting Simon Mahawk is like some cutesy story to send a message to your vets at this point. I think the guy has shown that, like,
he might be your best option.
Like,
yeah,
he's, I mean, he
look,
might be.
Look, I mean, look, sure, he might be, and that maybe he's the guy you're looking to in the AAC. But what you do have to do, Cobb, is see if there's any thing in Aaron Bradshaw because of what you paid him to see if it does work with him at all. I'm with you. Majaka's earned this. To that point you're saying, I completely subscribe to, and that's why I'm perfectly comfortable putting him in. He's been their best big for the most part. I still think Cobb, and he only played 5 minutes, I think, when I looked at actual time out there in the UNLV game. You've seen it's been a slow ramp up for Tariq Ingram. I believe he's their best big. I just and Majok might be that in terms of effort level potential, but I think Ingram showed you in that UNLV game in the 5 minutes he was out there, and I've continued to point to it just because we've seen so much bad play, so much stuff that doesn't look like big man play from the Tigers' bigs. You know, he's in the post, got to the free throw line 4 times, threw a pass from the post back out to the perimeter, some inside out, some things that we have not seen all season. Not saying he can be Dane Danger, but Pitty's got to get him into a shape to where he can be effective for at least stretches. I think that might end up being your most significant big, and you've got to give him, you know, if it was 2 minutes first game, 5 minutes, whatever it was against UNLV, hopefully that ramp up can continue. But no, Kyle, back to your point. Yeah, Majaka's earned it, but he's also still a freshman. He's also still raw in many ways, and we've seen him play poorly. But no, I'd have him out there tonight along with Thedford, and then trying to find, you know, who are the three that gave me the most in practice, and then seeing if that leads to better play from Doug McDaniel, Zach Davis, and guys like Aaron Bradshaw.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because the thing that I was talking about with Munns is when you were watching on Sunday, you could not really think about anything other than this looks horrible. But I was also just kind of starting to wonder, it's like, well, how many games are they going to win when Doug goes, I mean, what was he? I think he was 1 of 10 from the floor with 8 turnovers.
8 turnovers, 6 to 8, whatever.
I think it was 6 points, 8 turnovers, 1 of 10 from the floor. Like, well, you're probably going to lose every game like that. And so, like, I was trying to kind of weigh of how bad was it entirely versus, well, if your lead ball guy is going to basically do that, you're just not going to win very often.
For me, and I think John agrees with me, I wonder if you think, Jeffrey, for me it's more than just one bad game for Doug McDaniel. He was not engaged in the Auburn game.
That's fair.
All the way in. Auburn looked more like what we saw against UNLV. And so what I'm trying to avoid here is a Javon Quinnelly situation where the guy's got the money and he's going to do what he wants to do. Now, what we know about Doug is he hasn't won anywhere he's been. Hopefully this is a situation, again, I mean, you're going against the number one team in the country. If there's any competitor inside of this guy, you would think it comes out tonight. But what I'm concerned about, what I'm trying to find out, is if one of the top guys that I've paid an NIL thinking, okay, I've lost P.J. Haggerty, I got to go get somebody, if he's going to be with me or not. And just because that second game, Arkansas, we were coming off, and I said it earlier, that it felt like, okay, we got a little Kendrick Davis type here. But that Auburn game, he was, you know, in many parts of it, either ineffective or checked out, just uninterested, disengaged, whatever the word is. And you saw that against UNLV. So maybe it is, Jeffrey. Hopefully it's just, you know, one bad regular season game, and who knows what that was against Auburn. But I'm watching that, because what you can't have is sort of a repeat of when your lead guard is that in-out guy like Javon Quinnelly was. Hopefully that's not going to be what Doug McDaniel is. And again, if there's any competitor in there at all, you would think it comes out tonight against the number one team in the country, where everybody at least be watching to see what Purdue does. You can make this night what Doug McDaniel did. Surely, you know, this would be one of those games where you come to play, but eager to see how he responds.
Well, one thing that kind of hurts the narrative around the Tigers' backcourt right now is it's not like P.J. Haggerty was Kendrick Davis and just ran out of eligibility. I mean, this guy right now at Kansas State, 26 points a game, getting to the free throw line 10 times a game. I'd have to imagine he's among the top 5 scorers nationally. And they got a chance tonight, Kansas State does, to beat Mississippi State. And I don't know. It's just tough when you put them side by side. And I know there were some factors there outside of Memphis' control, but it's hard not to play that what-if game when you look at what Haggerty is doing right now.
It is, and Cobb, you're absolutely right. I mean, but how long could Penny wait? That was the thing in terms of that recruitment. Their entire sort of, you know, really everything they were doing from a recruiting standpoint was wrapped around trying to keep PJ because of the amount of money you were holding on to keep him, right? And you went deep into the portal cycle, missing out maybe on some bigs. We know that, I mean, John's continued to make the point, bigs are what cost the most in the transfer portal. Well, you had to reserve some for a lead guard or P.J. Haggerty, and you had to wait. And so that, because that's the thing, I don't think you're getting with PJ Haggerty's demands of being on the ball, what was it, 70-90% of the time, so he could be ready to, you were not going to get Doug McDaniel, PJ Haggerty. But Penny waited. We said it. I thought he handled it as best he could. You had to draw a line in the sand at some point. What's unfortunate is that, yes, that it's working out for PJ. That he, you know, he goes to a situation where it looked like him and his dad were, you know, all about, yeah, hey, what's the biggest dollar sign we can get? Maybe Memphis draws the line, withdraws at some point or not. You know, who knows with what happened down to the, you know, down to the final second. It felt like Penny had to draw a line in the sand because you got to go about the rest of the business of filling out a roster. And I think it's part of the reason why Cobb, he's in the boat that he's in with his bigs. To where, because, again, JT Toppin, those guys were going off the board early. You know, if you'd gone after a big early, perhaps you're not in this mess where you were trying to add, you know, so many, whether it was Ingram at the end, I mean, still a rope, all these that you went down the list for. Maybe it looks a little bit different, but I don't know, you know, because we all said you've got to get PJ Haggerty back. I don't know that there was a different way to play it. You had to wait. You had to put everything else on the back burner until you knew. And I think by the time, you know, at some point you had to draw a line, PJ was dragging that thing out. So it's unfortunate to see Cobb, certainly from you think about how good he was here. And a lot of the glow up was here, you know, and Penny had a lot to do with that, but he's showing. You know, I don't need Penny Hardaway to help make me a point guard or to have another good season. You know, salute to PJ Haggerty. I think it's one of the reasons, again, why just so many people, particularly in this, you're disenchanted with college, you know, athletics when you lose a guy like a PJ Haggerty and he goes off, he does not to the NBA, but to another school. And maybe in a case where you had nearly as much money, you know, it's unfortunate.
Cobb, do you have the numbers in front of you? How much, how much lead ball handler is PJ doing over at K-State?
I don't have the usage percentage, but he is leading the nation in scoring, and it looks like he's leading the nation in free throw attempts per game as well.
Interesting. Basically, the season he was having.
I was going to say, so basically,
the country and yeah, one at top free throw rate, you know, conversion rate. So
yeah, I mean, if you think about it, there was a time where you hoped and you aspired to get both Haggerty and Danger back. Like you thought that could happen, and at minimum, at worst, you were thinking, okay, maybe we only end up with one of them. And so, like, I think that has to be a part of the conversation with this Memphis basketball team as they go through these early season growing pains. However, you can't let that go to waste. And what I mean by that is, you know, I heard them say on the broadcast the other day during the UNLV game. Penny says, you know, up to 10 of these guys have the eligibility and the ability to come back next year. Okay, that's fine. If this ends up being a building season, like, but you have to get 6 or 7 of them back. Like, we can't do the thing again next year where you're 345th in KenPom, you know, maybe coming off of an NIT appearance in minutes continuity. Like, if this ends up being a sunk season, which is on the table, then okay, but make it be for something. Like, develop some of these guys into players who can be something for you next year.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, and it's and I couldn't have put it any better. In fact, I put it just that way on our show. Like the way out for Penny, you know, to get this thing back to a point where he wants it doesn't feel like it happens this year. That it happens, Cobb, the way you're saying it. You have to find a new way to skin the cat when now your $4 to $5 million that you're spending on your roster doesn't compare to what it got you last year, even. I mean, you got $22 million rosters out here by the SEC's $10 million plus. It feels like, you know, maybe there are still some $8 million John was talking about, but that's bottom of the conference. And so from that standpoint, you got to value shop. And more importantly, you got to find guys, whether it's a loyalty to Memphis, like it looks like with a Julius King Thedford and a Curtis Givens III, and maybe you're giving them a little less, but you've got to find that 7-8 to your point, Cobb, to where you're not so dependent on getting a PJ Haggerty back, having to replace 14 other guys. That is the key. We've said it. That's all the top teams in the country. They've got those returners, you know, whether it's two guys, whether it's three, four, more of a core. Penny's got to get to that. The question's going to be, you know, it's not a one-year process. That's going to take a while. But guys like Thedford, man, you know, Penny loves that Memphis basketball speech. That's not what we do. This is Memphis basketball. It doesn't work with guys who come in here for 1 year. But with King Thedfords and those guys, Curtis Givens, it can matter more to those guys. They can pass it on down as part of your culture, as your culture leaders. And I think for the times that they're in right now and for what he's got to work with, as it appears that athletic department is shifting to football, I think that's the way he's got to go. But Cobb, that's as you know, to get to that, it's going to take him a good 2 or 3 years. That's my question for Penny is how badly do you want this? You willing to go another 2 to 3 to maybe to fix it long-term the way it needs to be fixed? Or, you know, are you going to get tired of the criticism and the constantly, you know, Sweet 16 national championship you know, expectations that the fan base has, but that aren't matched anymore by the resources. So eager to see, you know, Pitty go out, you know, if he can do it and how, you know, just how motivated he is to do so. Because again, you know, it's a different thing with Penny to where you know, fixing Memphis is the life's work at this point. It's not that it's not just fixing Memphis so he can go get a power four job. You know, if it's going to happen under Penny Hardaway, you know, it's going to take a couple of more years, it feels like. So hopefully he's in for the long haul.
Jason, we appreciate it.
Y'all take care.
Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show. We come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys. For today's Don't Tell the Story, tell your story. We got to go with CeeDee Lamb. He said that he and George Pickens missed curfew. This is the reason why they were held out of the first possession on Monday night's game. Said they missed curfew before the game in Las Vegas. The two were having dinner and a few drinks at the Red Rock Casino. However, CeeDee denies that he was throwing up at the casino, as was rumored. He said it was even disrespectful to suggest that because he knows how to hold his liquor.
This is the real home field advantage in Vegas.
Oh yes, it's the NHL has like a Vegas rule, like teams that go on the road in Vegas like are scoring like a goal and a half less.
I believe it. This is the home field advantage, man. You get the opponent into Vegas and
off we go. All right, my man. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, brother. Sounds good.
That is, of course, David Cobb. Want to thank Eric Castellan and Jason Smith for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for David, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.